Hello, everyone, and welcome to another bonus episode of Legends of Jorvik, where I, a humble Jorvik pilgrim who goes to the Jorvik Viking Festival that they hold every February, although once in May, goes to and witnesses many creative events, meets fabulous people, experts, historians, theatre production companies, reenactors, you name it, they've got it. And I'm lucky to have tracked down and gently requested a few of the guests from this year's festival from 2025 to join me on my podcast. And tonight we have a very special guest called Katie Smith, who works at York Archaeology. And her connection, ladies and gentlemen, is that she designed the official top trumps for the Jorvik Viking Centre. Look at all those cards and their pretty pictures. And I will have ones popping up and around the screen as we go through the talk, so don't you worry, everyone, you will see them. But I do encourage everyone to go buy them. They should still be on sale on the Jorvik website. But let me welcome our guest, Katie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. I'm glad that you wanted to speak to me.
Well, this came about simply because I learned that you are an alumni like me of the University of Huddersfield, incredibly enough.
Yeah, no, I remember the email you sent, Lisa, and I was like, oh, it's such a, I love like connecting with people that like, it just feels like such a lovely thing to be like, we've been in the same place and stuff.
Well, your wonderful work with Top Trumps made it on the staff news, on the headline, on the university pages for staff. And of course, I think it was even on the main website as well, that Huddersfield alumni, Katie Smith, designed the Top Trumps for Jorvik. And I thought, oh, I need to get her on the podcast. And then, of course, I got the Top Trumps. I'm like, yes, I definitely need to get her on the podcast because they're amazing. But I guess we should start from the beginning with, after you kind of like, I believe you did illustration at the university. Is that right?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so how did you then get your current post at York Archaeology, if you don't mind me asking?
So really, I graduated in 2020, which was obviously a really hard time. We were in like lockdown,
yeah, and
stuff like that. And it was sort of the case of like sending my dissertation, right, you finished. And I was like, oh, that's it. Okay. And then I was I took the year really to think about what I wanted to do, and I really wanted to get into the children's book illustration and like more storytelling illustration. And then getting into the, it turned out that like I was told my whole life that the art industry is really hard to get into, and I took that to the chin. I was like, I know it's hard to get into, but I'm gonna get into it. And then I spent 3 years realizing what it is to get into. I was like, oh, yeah. It, like, it really was like a lot of unfortunately's, a lot of doing a lot of volunteer work. I did a lot around Huddersfield, like, I don't know if you know of the Hive Cafe.
Yes.
I did some of their window displays and ran a workshop for them. Like, anything that could go towards my portfolio, like, I was like, please let me do. And I was working in a full-time job at the time, so it was just like, this is what I wanted to do, I'm going to try and do it. Which led me to kind of sort of apply for anything and everything. I was like, please, just somebody give me a chance. So I applied for the, so I tried like graphic design roles, I tried art worker roles, anything that said creative, graphic design, this, that, the other. I wasn't getting anywhere with graphic design. When I have friends that are graphic design, and when I've looked at their work, I was like, ah, oh, I see, this is why I'm not getting work, because it's completely different. And I, I respect that. So I decided I'd be really good. I think I'd be a really good assistant, or like do like intern. So I just looked up graphic design assistant, because I was like, anything I can do, I could learn. I'm very much like, you show me, I will learn it. I will watch any video I can. And York Archaeology came up needing a graphic design assistant, and I applied for it, and I did the interview. It was my illustration skills that got me the role, because George, my team, the graphic designer, was like, I haven't got that skill, you've got that skill. I was like, oh, that is like the best thing I've ever heard. That's all I've wanted to hear. And I remember I had the interview, got the job the day after, it was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Had to tell my boss, like, then I went in to my boss the Sunday, because I worked in like a chef. I was a chef for a bit. But I didn't want to hand in my notice till I had like the written confirmation.
Yes, yeah.
I was like, it felt too much like a dream. What do you mean? I'm just going to become a graphic designer. And the thing about it was I wasn't really expecting, I didn't know they'd chosen me for the illustration at the time, and I wasn't really expecting to do much big creative work like Top Trumps and like other projects I've worked on, because I was the assistant. I was like, I'll do a few posters, I'll do some ads. Like, my job was like, well, do you even know how much they're going to pay you? Like, you're leaving this job. And I was like, I don't care. Like, they could pay me in buttons. And I'd just be like, please, thank you.
Oh.
And then I was just happy. This has been my break into the industry. I've been so grateful. I've enjoyed every moment of it. And I didn't realise York Archaeology ran Jorvik or Dig or Balfour when I joined. They were like, have you heard of Jorvik? And I was like, sort of. And so I didn't even realise like what I was actually getting into. And yeah, if you'd told me 3 years ago that I was going to be drawing Vikings for the Viking Centre in York or like doing the Top Trumps and stuff like that, I wouldn't have believed you. I was like, you're talking, what? Is that even a job? Like, are they even looking for people like me? And then, so it's just the weird way life takes you. And I'm so glad that I was able to, they've accepted me and I've been able to do their work for them.
That is a wonderful story. And I'm so glad it paid off for you, because so many people do try to get their dream job with whatever skill or talent they have. I know I went to the University of Huddersfield to do English studies with creative writing with a humble dream of being the next J.K. Rowling. That kind of kept me going through the 3 years, and after the 3 years stopped, I had no more deadlines. So I had no great mindset of writing. So eventually I dwindled off writing and became more of a reader. I mean, I've been a reader from the word dot anyway. As soon as I could read, I was a bookworm. And then somehow my creative talents shifted into cosplay for a couple of years, and then the pandemic and pregnancy happened. And now here I am podcasting. So my creative talents just follow my passion wherever it seems to go. It hasn't quite yet paid off in a paid job yet. I am available if anyone wants me to do a paid podcast, particularly on Vikings, I can cover that one. But yes, on the whole, I have been happily working. Most of my job life has been, because when I graduated a university in 2009, so it's a good while before you, I managed to get a job at Huddersfield New College, where I was the assistant librarian, and then I became the library officer when the rest of the team retired, and then eventually I became the college librarian. And then after 9 years there, six of them solo, which was a transformation, but I enjoyed it immensely, I managed to then get a post as a senior library assistant back at my old university. So I kind of like left for 9 years and then came back. So yes, I'm back a part of a team. It's a smaller job, less responsibility, but it's given me the foundation that I needed to have my family, which I now have. So I'm glad both of our lives eventually worked out after various circles and trials. Nothing good comes easy, as they often say. So to get back to the Top Trump set, which there are many. Can you remember how many cards you've done, Casey? As a quick pop question.
30, and then an extra special one for the festival.
I wasn't able to get that one because I sadly didn't have time or chance to complete the trail to get it. But I believe it was a special one. So yes. So how did this idea come up then? Did Top Trumps approach Jorvik? Did Jorvik approach Top Trumps? Did someone say, why don't we do a Top Trumps and then run it forward? Or
As far as I'm aware, we've had Top Trumps kind of in the sphere for a while, like in the space for a while. It's been sort of like trying to justify if it would worth the company investing in. And then Lisa worked her magic. And and then one day in August she was like, I have an exciting proposal for you. And I was like, ooh, what is it? And then she was like, would you like to illustrate our Top Trumps? And I was like, yes, thank you. So that is all Lisa magic. My manager, I don't know, she proved that it's worth it. She got involved with Top Trumps. I was like, Yeah, I was just on the upper end and I was like, yay.
So I guess, did you know much about Top Trumps as a card game before that point?
Yeah, well, it's always, I feel like it's a staple kids game, isn't it? Like, I've never fully played a game, and I don't think I've done, I didn't know how to play the game when we got approached with Top Trumps. When they explained the game to me, I was like, oh, how did I know? But I think I just didn't, I didn't read instructions as a kid, and it was always something we, yeah, it's always something we got as like, it's like for Christmas and stuff. I feel like I always had a Top Trumps pack in the house, and I think it was just a case of like I think we got a basic concept, but I don't have a, like a full memory of like this is how you play the game and this is what you do to play the game. So I knew of the brand, and then I was quite I think of the word. I was like, oh, we related because Lisa had never played the game and we'd like some people had never played it. So I was like, so we got to, we were, it was exciting that when we got to like do test runs of our pack and stuff like that when they were coming to visit us.
Fab.
So yeah, I knew of them and I've never, I have now played that game. But growing up, I had them and never played them.
So for viewers and listeners who may not be in either familiar or in the same boat that have remembered Top Trumps from their own childhood but couldn't for the life of them or might not just be able to recall the exact rules, would you like to give us a brief summary of how you play Top Trumps?
So you all divide the cards and it's sort of a versus game. So you will you hide your hand
And
cards, yeah.
that's it.
And you say you have five categories. These categories could range from wisdom to like magic, which are on the top trump cards, like battle prowess, and they all have a rating. You will say I think you say the character, Thor, Battle Paris, 64. And then the other person will either give you their card because their Battle Paris is lower, or you have to give them their card, your card to them because their Battle Paris is higher. And it's all a game of like, it's not always about a game going for the obvious score. Like, don't always go for the obvious high number because they might have like, where you might have a real low number, they might even have a lower number, or like you never know which one's going to come out on top.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. That's really succinctly put. That's certainly the way I remember very vaguely playing Pokemon cards once upon a time back in the 1990s. And even then, I don't think I played
Yeah, again, a
it
game I had loads of cards for because I loved the characters and like I watched
right.
the anime, but never until I was like 19, I'd never played a full game through, and I think I just remember like just showing them off and be like, yeah, it's my pretty card.
So, okay, so Lisa told you that the deal is on. Can you design the pictures? How did it all begin? Did you talk to a particular person to find out much lore about the characters? Did you have to draft a list of names first to know who you're designing?
So yeah, this is really interesting because we have a big team at York Archaeology. We have a lot of we have like the education section, we have like the finds artifact sections, and we have like mythological experts on like hand of all different areas of York Archaeology. And this being a really exciting project, they all wanted to be a part of it, which is brilliant. And that was like the first hurdle was who are we going to have as our cards? Because it wasn't particularly obvious at first to do Norse mythology. We were playing around with the characters at the Jorvik in the Jorvik ride. So like we were gonna play around with like Bogar and like Laboba, but again pronunciation and like because yeah, because on the ride we have characters that were found at the archaeologist site and we can say that these people were like here. And then I threw out the idea because we have another exhibition that tours around the countries or tours around like the world called Heroes, which is real Viking people that were like heroes. And I remember the names. There's like
I wouldn't be surprised if there was Freydis from Greenland, because she was the one that snapped her breasts with the sword. She's always on the top there when you think after female side characters. Because I think I did see that when it toured. I might have seen it in York, and then I remember seeing it in the Barnsley Town Hall. Because, of course, I'm living in West Yorkshire now, and that's the nearest town hall, certainly where my husband's from, anyway. So I remember seeing it there. I've probably got photos on my Facebook page of it many, many years ago. But yes, I remember seeing that exhibition.
Well, and I think what helped me is I'd drawn them prior because it had recently gone to France and they wanted an illustration element, so I'd recently drawn heroes. So I was like, those, and because we were still thinking of the Jorvik characters, I was like, well, they seem not so overpowered to like the Jorvik characters. I feel like because they're on the same level, just a bit more like had a bit more wit or a bit more like leadership. You can kind of go with that. Because then Norse mythology got thrown in. We were like, shall we have the gods too? And then it was like, well, we could have the gods versus the heroes, because now I think you rank out the Jorvik characters because they're just civilians. Mm. And then I think it was just, there's so much to dive in with Norse mythology. Let's just do Norse mythology. And also because they're all sort of on the same battlefield. Like, you can have a category that is magic, because they do have magic, whereas like the hero characters might have not ranked high in magic because they're real people and may have had legends where they could have been seen to be using magic, but I don't think so it was Norse mythology. And then it was the exciting thing of I think the first point was I drew the characters. I drew a Valkyrie and I drew Mimir.
Interesting choice.
Well, so I was going off Google searches, which is what, this is quite a funny story. So we were working out, so we had Lucas the mythological expert and we had education working out all the logistics and details, and I wanted to secure the style of the characters before, because it was quite I had like a month to do this, so I wanted to secure the style so that there could be little changes, but no one would be shocked what they look like. Everyone can agree that this is what they're going to look like. So it was a Google searching for me first, because I know a little bit, but mine is very much like very much Marvel and what I could find on the internet. Like, I found out that Vikings don't wear horns on their helmets when I started working at Jorvik. And I had a lot of like, I was like, that's a Victorian invention. No. So the Valkyrie came out with a winged helmet. Yeah, because I was doing Google searches. I was like, also because I was like, they're gods. Surely they can have. I get they can't have horns, but surely they have like decorative helmets. And then Mimir was funny because I was searching up Mimir, and the Assassin's Creed did a character.
For they did.
Their game, and he looked like a man face in a tree. Like a man head in a tree. And I thought Mimir was a tree man. So I drew this great oak with the details of the wood would be like the Viking helmet and his face, and his beard would be like moss. And it was honestly one of my favourite drawings. And I'm like, we need to use it somewhere. Is he not like a tree man somewhere? It's just very typical. And so I sent it off to them. They love the style. But yeah, Lucas came to me and was like, Mimir's not actually a tree man. I was like, what? He's a talking head. So I thought that was really clever. And then, so from there, me and Lucas had a lot of meetings where he being the mythological expert and talks a lot about sagas, he gave me the rundown of the saga from what the thing was, and then from what the character was. And I would... And then we had a meeting where I would like discuss what is like kind of yes and no for Vikings. So like, because in sagas they call themselves giants a lot. So I was like, these are they giants? Like, when I think of giant, is that what I'm thinking about?
Yes, and he's like, that's a good point.
Yeah, and he's like, no, the giants are just, I think they're like closest to gods they can get without, they're not physically giant people. And I think it was same with dwarfs, it's same with elves. I was like, Lord of the Rings, can I draw a guy with pointy ears? And he's like, no, they're just like certain type of Vikings. And I was like, okay. But yeah, it was very good to like, well, that's where I found out that sagas aren't like what I assume the Greek myths are, which are like full stories, or like they're kind of like bits and pieces of poems, and that's why like
Nidhogg.
Nidhogg was a snake that was like eating the roots of the tree, but then in Ragnarok grew wings, but it wasn't discussed that he had wings before.
Nope.
And dropped dead bodies. I was like, oh, so he gained abilities. I like that. But that was like the most interesting part. And then the bit where education came in, because Top Trumps is certified to be used in educational aspects during schools and stuff like that. They wanted to put in like their tidbits and stuff like that, and we really wanted to have artifacts from what we found at York Archaeology. So the Valkyrie has the, I forgot the name of the helmet, but it's the helmet they found.
The Coppergate helmet.
The Coppergate helmet.
I'm looking her up now. Where is she? I know she's in here somewhere. There she is. Oh, she does. How have I not noticed that? There she is, the Valkyrie. I'll have a bigger version on the screen around here somewhere, but she'll pop up in all her glorious colour. But yes, that's a beautiful thing to do. How clever.
Yeah, so like I found out that Vikings had ice skates and skis. I didn't know they had that. And it's just stuff you don't think about, and then they do, and you're like, oh my God, that's... But yeah, I think a lot of the runes, like I wanted Lucas directed me in the runes, because I wanted to be cheeky and spell stuff out in runes. Not anything bad, but just like a Valkyrie was here. And he's like, because of how runes are not, they're not direct to our language, our alphabet.
Yeah.
Like, here are some runes you can use. So that idea kind of got lost. But I was like, Valkyrie's here, or Loki was here, just in the background.
I noticed that, oh, let me find Loki now, because he is, I really like him, if only because for the first time I've ever seen him in many depictions, he's blonde, which I don't often come across. He's so often the redhead, and yet it's also Thor that's the redhead. Where are you, Thor? Where are you? That's Tyr, that's Mimir, there's so many. 30 cards, no, the dragon is in the earlier pack, he's hiding. I found his children, there's Sleipnir, there's Fenrir. Where are you? Aye, hiding behind Odin, are you? Yes, there he is, he's literally hiding behind Odin, which is very Loki. There he is. And I love how you've given him little runes and his little magic.
I love that about the magic, because I wanted, like, I feel like, because I feel like magic is very, like, word, spoken word and stuff like that, so I feel like giving the, like, the appearance of their language in it would be, like, just tangible of, like, doing a spell. And I made him blonde because I was very aware of Tom Hiddleston's depiction. And also because Thor is ginger, and I wanted that dynamic of like a blonde Loki. Also, I was reading a lot of fantasy romance books at the time that the blonde love interest was never anyone's favourite. So I quite find it funny that like Loki is the love interest that's not anyone's favourite.
Oh, that's brilliant. So were there any other artifacts that you've snuck into the designs that viewers and listeners might want to look out for if they do indeed purchase the entire collection?
I'm trying to think if there's a lot of there'll be a lot of like their brooches have actual patterns on from like what I've seen like in the stuff. There's a lot of stuff that was like cut out because of the size of the card. So like there is I didn't mention like so the one Skadi, she does have ice skates on, but because of the size of the card, they've been cut off. So they would have had like liking ice skates on, which I'd got a picture of. I think it was just more little details. So like Thor's belt, which again a bit cut off, but that is a proper belt like they showed me and stuff like that. So it was really interesting to see all these different finds and see. I loved picking out the different patterns in them and figuring out where I could weave them into the characters, because Vikings have very colourful clothing, but sometimes I like to like disintegrate it by putting something in like their cloaks or putting something on their sleeves and stuff like that. So they had just like a little pattern, a little like flair.
So besides the unfortunately not used tree man version of Mimir, was there any of the particular favourites you had in the official set when it was fixed and in place?
I really love the Valkyrie. That didn't change. Apart from the wings helmet, she didn't change at all. I could literally just put her new helmet on. It was quite funny. I was like, jealous helmet. And then I really like the Norns because I just really like the atmosphere of that card. And the, like, just, I love the idea of, like, a witch's coven just around the well and deciding. I love Huggins and Muggins. They were my favourite.
When I started
working at Jorvik, I had the idea that they were just, like, gossiping grannies. Like, they would just come and go, like, oh, we've heard this today, Thor. And they're like, this is, and they just became my little favourite two guys. And that's why I wanted to have them chat together. We've actually got, I got two ravens and made them little cloaks, and now me and my group designer have them like on our desks.
That's adorable. Oh, the official mascots of Jorvik there, surely.
Yeah, I want to like add them into little videos and stuff. I just love them so much. And then, yeah, I love all the cards. I do. I think there were some that I think. Oh, I like Nidhogg too, just because I really like dragons, and I just think he's such a cool dragon.
Yeah, there he is. Snake and with wings. Because I must admit, when I was rereading through them just before we pressed record on this very fun interview, I must say, I thought, oh, he gains the wings and he comes back at the end of Earl, but no one knows what he will do to the other survivors. That's new to me. I mean, I've read the myths, but quite often kind of like in very modern retellings where it's not word for word what's written in the various sagas and pieces of, because as you say, that's quite often the trick with these Norse stories, is we have bits of them and they're written centuries after everyone's been Christianized, so we don't have the complete puzzle by any means. I've certainly learned that when I've been doing my research on Valkyries and their representation, how we think of them and how we use them and depict them, kind of thing. It's all even like the famous Saga of the Volsungs, that's come in bits and pieces, and there's different versions of it that portray Brynhild one way, portray Brynhild the other. I mean, in all of them, she ends up being the figure of tragedy, but it's been interesting learning how these gaps, are a curse because we want to know more. We want to know exactly what these Viking people thought and believed. But then because we're missing these gaps, it's allowed our futuristic imaginations to fill them in. And that at the same time has helped these stories and these characters exist for centuries beyond belief, really, compared to other kind of like pantheons and belief systems, which just have all kind of like, they've either been locked in rigid, like Christianity, it's the Bible, the Testament, the Old Testament, and whatever comes next, basically. I don't know what that is. But kind of like Buddhist tales and that kind of thing, they're all quite fixed and definitive. But the Viking stories, that belief system, it's not definitive, it's not fixed, it's not even tangible, it's very adaptable and malleable, and it is often shaped to reflect society and our views and beliefs at the time, kind of thing. So it's been really fascinating to see kind of like how you've interpreted all these characters in your artwork, which is very kid friendly, I must admit. And I would love to see these in a book. They're just awesome. Especially Hunan and Munin. I just love the idea of them gossiping. but yeah, it's just wonderful. So I guess you've touched base on how you've learned a lot from Lucas as a mythology expert. And I salute Lucas. He does a wonderful job at Jorvik. I remember going to his debut Halloween Dark Sagas tour at Jorvik Viking Sense last autumn, and he was on fire, he was on point. So were the other guys that worked with him, including the guy who played Odin. He generally made my mum jump behind her, and then she was like on tenterhooks all the way around. But yeah, I thought that was a brilliant, that's a really innovative use of Jorvik as a museum. I thought that's inspired. I couldn't get to the Yule one, unfortunately, otherwise I would have gone to that. But I just need any excuse and I'll be there. I mean, I even took my best friend James round Jorvik. Was it earlier this summer? No, was it earlier? Yeah, it must have been earlier this year, in fact, on the day off that we had together, because he hasn't been there in like nearly 10 years. I thought, you need to go, you need to see, it's all awesome. And we're kind of like, I kept telling him, oh, that's that and that's that. So he didn't really listen to the commentary because I was too busy doing it for him because I've been around that much. But it it certainly would have been interesting, I think, to have a top trump set that either did the artifacts, because gosh, what stats would you could you put with all the artifacts you've got, like the frying pan, I love it, a Flynn Rider, just a Norse Flynn Rider, yep, I'll have that, please. And of course the woolen sock and all the kind of like the ice skates. There's so many, and of course so many artifacts that are on display because Jorvik found so much, the dig that is. And of course using the people, I thought that's another really interesting idea, because of course I always know, of course, Bogart, the one on the toilet that is often on the promotion, is the man that's permanently always on the toilet, bless him. No one's yet given him a laxative. I think he needs it now after nearly, well, 40 odd years of being on the toilet.
Permanent struggle.
And of course, as you mentioned, I think that was in relation to the old woman that had needed to use, had a limp because of her hip problem that they had found in her bones, because I always love going past her when I thought, oh gosh, just think across you. But yeah, there's so many of the characters. I mean, it still makes me chuckle when we go past on the ride and say, oh yes, here's a woman with her baby trying to work out what to buy for lunch. This man's selling her a cabbage. I don't think she's interested in it. Aren't our problems the same? I'm like, yes, we still don't know what to do for tea most days. We still get trying to buy things that we don't really need or want. As a mum, I completely related to that scene very much now.
I know, he looked really aggressive selling her that cabbage. I'm like, I'd be unsure of that cabbage.
So now that obviously Jorvik's back in February and we're now in the month of May, do you have any idea on how successful your wonderful pack of Top Trumps card has been?
I think, to be fair, we get a lot of sales from it. I think the shop's always saying that they're selling very well. And anyone that's like had contact with us, or like Lisa or George, have just said how much they love the pack, which I just love, because I just having it, like I just look at them sometimes because it's so nice to have such an accomplished, not accomplished, like a cumulative amount of work, like in your hand, and just like,
yeah,
and like all of us came together for it. Everyone was really excited when it launched, and I think everyone's been like just so happy they're here, and I'm just like, yeah, it makes me happy.
Now I guess one of the other questions, I guess, like, have you got yourself a set? Do you have one of maybe the first ones off the press?
Yeah, mine are still sealed.
Oh bless you.
I looked through them and I still need to buy myself a pack that aren't not sealed so that we can play them. I've just not got round to it yet. This is like my first pack. They were like, here you go, here they are. And I was like, and I saw like the, we had a pack that was open in the office. So I was like, this will be like the collector's item when I'm old. And I'm just like, yes, I did this at one point. Show my grandkids and they're like, yeah, whatever, grandma. And I'm like, yeah, but look, I'll open them for you. I've got my mouth pack that's leathered because I've played it so much.
Sorry, carry on.
No, it's all right. Yeah, it's just like, I think I got my mum a pack. My granddad wanted me to sign his pack, so I signed his pack for him.
Oh, bless him.
And then, yeah, and I'm working out like just getting different packs for different people. So my mother-in-law is still waiting for her pack and stuff. And I'm like, I will get it to you soon.
Well, it is a remarkable achievement, and you should be quite rightly proud of it, and so should all your family and friends, because it's amazing. It's the first of its kind for Jorvik, and I've been going to Jorvik since 2006. Yep, pretty much when I started uni, I started going. And it's the first. It's taken 20-odd years, but it's here. It's here, the top trump of Jorvik. And your name and imagination and talent is behind the core of it, which is the images, as much as the stats are helpful and the little anecdotes. And I'm so glad, in a way, that it was a cumulative team effort behind Jorvik, because that's what I've always had the impression of. Jorvik is one big team. As you said at the beginning, York Archaeology is like the big family name for the York Dig, the Jorvik, the Richard III experience, and all the Kates. They pretty much run most of the main big history spaces and buildings and exhibitions, etc., around York. And yeah, I always got the impression, because I'm acquainted with Dr. Chris Duckley of Jorvik, of course, because I keep popping up at all the Jorvik events, so he kind of knows my face and I know him because I'm always there. And I'm delighted to say that he's going to be my 20th guest on this podcast in the autumn. So I can't wait to talk to him, especially because, dear viewers and listeners, if you haven't checked it out yet, go to the Jorvik YouTube channel. They have just released, well, they just, it was a couple of weeks ago now, their brand new exciting documentary covering the entire history of Jorvik as a ride. And I got to see most of it, not all of it, during the Jorvik tour when they premiered it. I had to leave for a train because trains and getting to West Yorkshire is a bit like trying to find a black hole that has an exit, because sometimes you go in and you just don't come out. but it is amazing. And to think that that legacy now has a little bit of you in, Katie, is, I'm just so happy for you, just because I can feel your passion and talent and love for the artwork come through. And it's wonderful. But I guess the final question I was going to ask of, seeming obviously you've mentioned how you learnt, of course, biking out of horn helmets and they had ice skates, and then you worked really well with Lucas to learn about the mythology. Has it given you a bit of a itch to learn more about Vikings and their culture and the mythology and history? Or do you feel that you've learnt enough now that you've done top trumps?
I like Lucas has given me a superpower. I remember random facts about Vikings, especially the sagas. I spew them off. I'm like, do you know this? And then we're like, yeah. I'm like, yes, now I know. I like to share it. Lucas, whenever he's doing anything, if he speaks about it, like there was stuff about, like, he was on about a couple of weeks back, how Vikings dye their clothes, and he was in the office discussing it. And that's how, like, the next talk he was going to do about. And I was like, yeah, quick question, how do they? And I think, like, because I just, yeah, you don't, I think what was crazy is that I did not think, you have, like, an impression of how the Vikings live, especially because we have so much media of how Vikings lived, or how we assume Vikings lived. But when you're faced with, like, the different, like, I've learned, like, I can't even think of, like, what I've learned. I've just, like, the colour and, like, the colour of the bubbly and stuff like that. And, like, I think anytime, like, we're on stuff, it was a very, like, big learning curve when I first started, because I was, like, what do they wear, what don't they wear? And, like, it was very fun to, like, I just feel like I learn something new every day. So it made me more interested in the sagas, because I was, like, why do we not know much? And then, so I'm always, like, curious at work of, like, oh, why is this? And why have we done that? Stuff like that. And, like, why did they do that? Just getting that question.
Well, no, I think they benefit from you from asking those questions, because, of course, that's the kind of thing that Lucas is probably trying to think of addressing, kind of, like, helping people learn these things, but also thinking, well, if someone ever Googles it, he wants, obviously, his highly recommended content to come up to provide the answer for it. So I salute you. I mean, my dad always said there's never such thing as a stupid question, and you're a fool if you don't ask it, because you learn nothing if you don't ask. So well done you for asking all those questions.
Well, yeah, I just didn't know anything apart from what popular media tells us. Like I said, what popular media tells us Vikings are. And I knew the raids and stuff like that, but, like, the more settled version of their society has been really interesting to learn about, and, like, their culture every day and stuff like that. And what else was I saying? It just escaped me. I think it's just grown a more love for the history itself.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time tonight. I really appreciate it. It's been a really fun conversation with you, explaining all things Norse and your work and your journey as an illustrator, and of course your amazing part of Jorvik heritage, which is now the official top trumps, which is awesome. And I'm so glad I've got a set. I just need someone to play it with. Maybe my four-year-old one day, when she's a bit bigger and can actually learn to read. I mean, she can do the numbers just about, but it's the letter that she wouldn't understand, bless her. Although she'll be exactly like you. She'll be like, why is it Nidhogg? Why is he eating dead people? I'm like, oh gosh, maybe not. Maybe not. She would. She's got that kind of inquisitive mind. She trips me up on all sorts of things. But yes, I hope you enjoyed our chat as well. Dear viewers and listeners, wherever you're watching, listening, please do hit the like button, put a comment in below, Hit subscribe so you can catch the next bonus episode of Legends of Jorvik, which will feature Jason Book, a storyteller who was in Jorvik that week and told some fascinating folklore tales. He would have liked his event, Katie. So I do recommend you look him up as well. But there'll be lots of other content coming, including the usual Valhalla podcast episodes. So keep an eye out for that. Thank you very much for listening and watching. Thank you very much, Katie.
Thank you for having me. This has been amazing.
You're very welcome.